We thank you for Jesus Christ, who stands with us, who promises never to leave us nor forsake us. In the midst of trials and tribulation and temptation and pain and sorrow, Lord God, you are with us. And so during this Lenten season, we know that. And throughout our lives, we know that we, when we can't stand, you will stand with us and hold us up. So, Lord God, we thank you. Thank you for the songs and the scriptures and the words and words of condolences and prayers. Lord God, thank you for your people who embrace those who are going through. Thank you. And thank you, Lord God, for Jesus Christ, who stretches out his nail print hands and say, come to me, all who labor and every laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you, Jesus, for stretching out your nail print hands and say, come. Thank you, God. Speak now, Lord God, for we're listening. Speak a word of hope and a word of love and a word of peace. Speak, God. Speak, for your children are listening. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your will. Put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, Lord God, be acceptable in your sight, for you are our refuge, our Redeemer, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. And so as the song says, when you've done all you can, and it seems like never enough, and what can you say when your friends turn away and you're all alone? Tell me, what can you give when you've given you all and it seems like you can't make it through? Well, you just stand. When there's nothing left to do, you just stand and watch the Lord see you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, you just stand. Stand. After you've done all you can, you just stand. You could stand through the pain. Stand through the sorrow, you just stand. After you've prayed and cried, and you've prayed and cried. After you've prayed and cried, you just stand. Stand and watch the Lord see you through. Amen. And so we thank God for God's grace and mercy that allows us to stand. It allows me to stand and stand before you this day. Thanks be to God. And so today my sermon title is a prayer of thirst. And David knew how to stand. David knew how to stand, and from this psalm, Psalm 42, another, it is also a hymn, a song, as the deer pants for the streams of water. That's what the song says in one of our hymns. So my soul longs for you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. This hymn, this song is from Psalm 42, which is a longing to be with God in the temple. When you're going through difficult times, there's a longing to be in the temple. The writer of this psalm is said to be David and the other folks in the temple, and it says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Where can I go and meet with God? And it continues. First, the psalmist begins by lamenting, my soul thirsts for God, describing his condition as severe spiritual dryness or drought. You see, there are times when we go through a spiritual dryness or a drought, or there are times when we go through loss, or we have been diagnosed with a sickness, or whatever it may be, and there's spiritual dryness or drought in our lives. The condition is conveyed by the image of a deer dying for thirst. A deer is running and it's dying for thirst, needing water to drink. Deer are creatures of instinct and the ones that drink constantly. a deer would be parched and deeply thirsty if there were a drought. So the image of that we need God and a relationship with God to survive, and we need it all the time. Just like the deer needs the water. The psalmist is conveying his spiritual dryness, and it's also conveying his physical dryness. Circumstances are preventing him from going to meet with God. Circumstances like the COVID-19 virus pandemic. You see, there is several possible implications. Perhaps he's unable to worship God in the temple for which he belongs, because he's running for his life and he can't get to the temple. Or perhaps he lacks an experience of God. The psalmist is lamenting the loss of God's reality to his soul. Now, friends, I was thinking about this the other day when I was putting this together, and the connection can be made. That even though we could experience God at our home, we could experience God by ourselves, we could experience God on Zoom, we could experience God on Facebook, we could experience God wherever, there is something about coming into the house of the Lord and worshiping God. For those who need it. There are people who says they don't need it. There's younger generations, they're used to the new things. They're used to new technology. There are young people who never walk into a church. They watch it always online. They'll tell you. They're the virtual churches, right? But for those of us who feels something unique and special, when we walk into the sanctuary and we look at the altar and we sit among our brothers and sisters and we could hear the word spoken and the word preached and the word read and the song sings, and we can sit there and just spend that time with God. It is a longing and a thirst. This is the thirst that David was talking about, right? David writes, as the deer pants for the stream of water, so my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Does your soul thirst for God this morning? For the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Right? David could have prayed outside. He could pray in the fields. He could pray wherever he's running. But he believed in getting into the sanctuary to come and meet with God. To meet with the living God. He says here, my tears have been my food day and night. He's crying because he wants to meet with God. I need to see God. I need to be here to be with God. It is a comfort and a restoration. He says, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? For David is running for his life, and David believes in God, and he has trusted God, and now he's in trouble. He has experienced loss, and they're saying, where is your God? Now, for those of us who believe in God like I do, and believe in men, are you here? I hope you do believe in God. That's why you're here. And when you pray to God for God's will to be done in your life or the life of your loved one, and it doesn't line up exactly the way you thought it should be on earth, there may be those who think, where is your God? Huh? You pray to God, but where is your God? Where was God? And for them, I say, don't worry about where's my God. You better work on where's your God. Because my God will bring me through. My God will sustain me and my family. My God does always what is perfect and right and correct. Where is your God? I know where my God is, where he's always have been. And he will always be, never leaving us nor forsaking us. So they asked David a question, where is your God? It's from the Psalms. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God, David says, under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. And then he says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Because David is suffering and he's missing God, and he speaks to his soul. There are times you have to speak to your soul, friends. I have been speaking to my soul. There's a little song that says, I command my soul to praise the Lord. I command my soul to praise the Lord. Soul, praise the Lord. It is easy to praise God when all is going well. It is easy to praise God when everything lines up. It's hard to praise God when you're suffering. It's hard to praise God when you experience Lord. But David says, as he says it here, he says, why my soul, he's calling out, he says, why my soul, why are you so downcast? David will say the word downcast three times. So one wants to see in the scripture that what we're going through now, what I'm going through or you're going through, it's not new. It's not new. Saints before us, believers before us have all gone through. And there's some who are going through right now. And there's some who will be going through next week and next year. And any of us could be one of those. But we must be able to hold on to God's unchanging hand. And David says here, he says, as he pours out himself, he cries out to God. He says, why is my soul, I'm so downcast. He says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of the Lord for protection. And as he says, soul, don't be so downcast. Why are you downcast? It's a general word for being despondent and depressed. David was despondent and depressed, and he's asking his soul, why are you downcast? And then he says, but your hope, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. No matter what happens, I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I'd like to tell the devil, I'd like to tell Satan, Satan cannot buffet me, and Satan cannot get me to turn away from God. I will yet praise him. I will say like Job, though he slay me, yet I will praise him. Yet I will trust him. Yet I will believe him. Yet I will declare to the world that God is real and God is true. David says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. And as he continues, he says, deep calls to deep. He's saying, this situation I am in, I realize, David is saying here, I realize that God could have allowed it to happen. That God knew about it and God has allowed it to happen. This has swept over me, he says, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. David says, everything has swept over me, God. The psalmist feels that God has forgotten him, that God's hand is involved in his suffering. But he goes on and says, by day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to God for my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? David asked, why have you forgotten me? Jesus had asked that on the cross, didn't he? Why have you forgotten? But David, he asked again, where is my God? They ask. He says one more time, put your hope in God, and I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Friends, we will all face trials, but we must put our hope in God. We'll all fail and face ups and downs, but when we put our hope in God, when our anchor holds and it grips the solid rock, we can come through. And as we look at David's thirst for God, we see Jesus' zeal for the house of God. Thirst and zeal. Jesus' zeal for the house of God, that he wanted the house of God to be the place where we could come to worship God. Not to sell our wares and things in the church, but to come in and sit in the church and worship God. So he had a zeal for God. And if you have a zeal, you're willing and energized and motivated to do what you need to do where God is concerned. A zeal is often used in a religious sense, meaning devotion to God or other religious responsibility. Jesus had a zeal for God, and he did not want to see God's house desecrated. And so what did he do? He chased out the money changers. He threw them out. He got so angry and he took the whip to get at them because they were not doing what they ought to do in God's holy place. Because this is where we come to find God. This is where we come to seek God. So friends, we're in spring. We're getting into spring. And we don't know what faces us, but I'm encouraging all of you, just as how Jesus cleaned out the temple, just as he cleansed the temple, we should be cleaning and cleansing our own hearts, our own souls. Do a spring cleaning on our hearts and our souls. Have a zeal for God. Have a zeal for the things of God. Have a zeal for the work of God. Draw closer to God. Draw nearer to Jesus. Because when you need him, he'll be there. And you got to know him before trouble comes. You got to know him before problem comes. You got to know him before loss comes. You have got to know him so you could hold on and stand strong. Because you know him. And you have a relationship with him. And so Jesus cleansed the temple because he wanted them to know, like he wants us to know, this place that we call the house of God, this place that we call the sanctuary. That's the name for it, the sanctuary, a place that's holy. This place is where we come to worship God. And during this pandemic, a lot of folks have lost out and missed out on coming into this sanctuary where they need to be. Just sit, and sometimes for some people, looking at the stained glass windows changes their, gives them hope. Some people hearing a song. Some people just being around and looking at the cross. Just believing that the Spirit of the Lord is here, even though the Spirit of the Lord lives in us. But being among others who worship the Lord. Being about a community. That's what David was missing, the community of worshipers. He wanted to be among the community of worship. So when they lift up the name of Jesus, lift up God's name, together we can rejoice. Together we can praise God. And friends, I want to tell you that when you're going through, you need some believing Christians to go through with you. Let me tell you, you don't want people who don't know much and they just tell you nonsense. Right? You don't need people who just want you to wallow in your tears, because that's not going to help you. You need people who believe in God and understand that God's word is true. God's word is true when you get your answer. God's word is true when you don't get your answer. God's word is always true. So I don't have time for anybody who's like to tell me what they think God was going to do or didn't do, because only God knows what God was going to do. And only God knows what's best for all of us. Only God. So it's good to have believers who believe and can hold your hand and says, I'm with you. I'm journeying with you. It is called a ministry of silence, a ministry of presence. They don't have to say much, but they just have to say, I got it. I'm praying for you. I'm with you. It's called a ministry of presence. So thanks be to God to all of you who have prayed for me and my family. We thank you. And it is well. It is well with our souls. Thanks be to God. Amen.